Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Where's Cop?
Good morning, Vietnam!
Rise and shining. Wakey, waking.
Good morning.
Where's Cop?
Good morning. Good morning to you.
And you.
And you.
Robert Scott Bell.
Gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
The FDA is about to get a lot more muscle.
More money and more power.
Sweeping new powers.
The most sweeping overhaul of the nation's food safety laws since the 1930s.
Robert Scott Bell.
If you like the efficiency of the post office, the competence of FEMA, and the compassion of the IRS, we will love the nationalized health care bill.
Robert Scott Bell.
The British Medical Journal accused a researcher, Andrew Wakefield, of outright fraud.
People need to look at the details and not look at the headlines.
This is like Salem, the visceral response that they're trying to whip up in the public to try and crush this dissent.
Enough is enough.
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom and making sense out of medical propaganda. The voice of health, freedom, and liberty, Robert Scott Bell.
Welcome to the Thursday edition, special Thursday edition, because why? We're traveling. We're heading to the Health Freedom Expo, so Super Don's putting this together
again.
In abstention. So, Super Don, you're there.
I am. I'm here.
I know. You've got your work cut out for you. I'm just going to leave you with this, and you got to put the rest of the show together, okay?
Now, this is kind of weird. You're going to leave me with this. I don't know what you're talking about, Robert.
No. We got, of
this,
course.
We're talking right now. I don't understand.
Superhero Sidekick's going to join, of course, Liam, because we've been gearing up for this and having to plan ahead. So today we're going to do a little political healing in the first hour. Bryce Shanka from the 10th Amendment Center is going to join us. We're going to talk about NDAA nullification and more, the Nullify Now event coming up, labeling GMOs, Monsanto connections. Also, what about the history of republics and democracies? Is there a distinct difference? Liam wants to talk about the actual going back to root word origins, which I do love. We got word that Batman is back. Actually, it's not Batman. It's the Bat Flu. I got news on the Bat Flu.
What else can they find on Old McDonald's farm to name a flu after?
We're gonna connect bats and cats and flus and blues and dudes, whatever, right? Second hour, I'm going to warn you, we are going to, there's more, every day you turn around, there's more garbage coming out about HIV. There's a new book now saying that AIDS was caused by white colonialism hundreds of years ago, centuries ago. So suddenly now, they keep changing their story. And so we're going to get Terry Michael back on with Liam. And, you know, when we cover this issue, sometimes it can get very, let's say, physiologically direct in our discussion about what really causes immune deficiency. So if you're at all a little squeaky, I'm not saying we're spending the whole hour on that, but I'm just going to say that there's frank discussion when we talk about immune deficiency, the real cause of it, in particularly in sub-communities like the so-called gay community. So we were going to do that. Also, news about an upcoming guest. I'm rumoring, but I'm not going to cover that until we know later. But I think we're going to find out by the time we're finished recording today's show. So that's going to be great. And the move from I think, what is it, from HIV to hepatitis C. You're going to hear that hepatitis C is the new AIDS. That's going to be the word.
Oh yeah, I've seen that a lot in the news lately about how hepatitis C is. That they're now saying that it's causing more deaths and things than HIV.
Yep.
Yep.
Well, the CDC is desperately trying to find its new so-called AIDS because the war on cancer failed. The war on AIDS has failed. In fact, you know, what they say causes AIDS, it doesn't. So they're going to keep changing their story. Fascinating. Fascinating things we're going to uncover on today's show while we're traveling. And that's what we call multitasking, or being in two places at one time. Some people call it soul travel, whatever. We're the soul man. We're doing it. Also want to say thanks to all our new listeners all over the world because of a lot of these things. Remember, we had Patty Finn on for Advanced Medicine Monday, the lawyer. That news is traveling around the planet as the government is attacking her for standing up for the defense of parents and children. and simply, for instance, acknowledging that the state statutes provide for certain levels of exemption, suing the state of West Virginia for their unconstitutional limitations on your freedom to say no to vaccines. And, of course, the health ranger, Mike Adams, is covering it big time. Also, you know, live expo coming up. Of course, Health Freedom Expo tomorrow. Come on down. See us there, Long Beach, California. And if you can't, they'll be making DVDs available of all the presentations that are happening. So exciting things happening, Super Don.
Absolutely. Never stops at all.
Never stops. So remember, robertscottbell.com. Sign up for email alerts there and through naturalnewsradio.com. If you want to call us even when we're not here, 866-939-BELL, 866-939-2355. From political healing to physiological health and healing and beyond, it is the Robert Scott Bell Show, the United States and world of health talk radio. Coming right back with more powerful healing after this.
Tired of the same boring health talk radio? Then turn up the volume and break off the knob. This is the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hello, this is Jonathan Wagner. We have an internet website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, that carries many of the products discussed on Robert's show, including 100% whole food chromium and selenium, silica, as well as sovereign silver and Nordic naturals. Choosetobehealthy.com features the Rolls Royce of probiotics. It's Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Dr. O'Hara, a world-renowned microbiologist, formulated a unique probiotic that blends ancient Japanese fermentation methods with 21st century technology. No refrigeration is needed. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics contains the strongest lactic acid bacteria known to man based on scientific laboratory research. 6.25 times stronger. Quite simply, it works and works very well. So go to our website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, or call us toll-free, 866-424-1077. That's 866-424-1077. We're here to help.
Hi, this is Joshua.
And Anna Scurry, co-founders of Alive Foundation, and you're listening to the Robert Scott Bell Show. We here at Alive believe in health freedom and God's gift of choice. Alive is a nonprofit organization that will be holding its first annual celebrity health and eco benefit in New York City.
Why should you support? This benefit will be centered behind the world's leading natural doctors, celebrities, and organizations that are making a real difference in our world to give the people a voice that has not had a chance to be heard.
Did you know the number one killer in America is suicide by lifestyle from lack of education and know-how? We can change this. Stand with us in this mission of hope and healing to reach at least 1 million people worldwide. Attend the event live or watch it from the comfort of your own home.
Please visit AliveNewYork.org for more information or to make a donation. We cannot do this without you. We the people hold the key to our destiny. Are you willing to unlock the door?
In the health world through the power of radio, it's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
We got Terry Michael coming up next hour, and I thought we'd do a little political healing before we get there. Maybe some word origin, definition, play a little celebrity Jeopardy.
Let me get the Twister thing out. On a second. Let me find it. Where is it?
Find it?
Where's the Twister board?
I don't see it. Spin. Celebrity Jeopardy. Which celebrity's going to show up?
No. I want to play Celebrity Twister.
I don't know how to play Celebrity Twister.
Well, Angelina Jolie comes in. She takes a wide stance.
Oh, did you see that on the Academy Awards?
No.
And then
I was only referring to something I made up.
No, she did. She stuck her leg out of the thing, and then suddenly the people who won the award she was presenting did the same thing. The guys. Although they didn't show as much leg. Anyway, she was just showing up Jennifer Aniston, I think. Just one of those things.
I'm
Hollywood.
Biting
that's what
my
we get
tongue
here. Robert Scott Bell Show. Inside Hollywood here.
About
hey,
what flopped out?
Listen, we're going to be in Hollywood, Long Beach. That's why we're recording ahead for this. And
speaking of Long Beach.
Yes, we are going to be at the Health Freedom Expo. That's where we're going to be tomorrow. But since it's a travel day for us, you're hearing us recorded today. Now, political healing, word origin, republic, democracy. Is there a difference?
Republicans Democrats. And Democrats don't mix. They don't like each other.
Ron says there's no difference between the two.
They hate each other.
Ron Paul said no difference.
Well, if you vote, I don't think we shouldn't vote in groups. All right, I love Ron Paul.
Individual. Yes.
Well, this isn't something we should vote for in groups.
Well, if you go back to the 1980s, remember we played the Morton Downey Jr. show? He didn't sound like that so much, did he? He still could get a little high.
Shut up. That's what he was more like that then. Yeah. There, I just became Jimmy Stewart. Well, shut up.
So Ron Paul is Jimmy Stewart?
I'm going to stand here on the floor of this Senate until... Anyway.
Ron Paul goes to Washington. He's already been there.
He's there. No, Res Publica. I was just thinking about it. I think I was on the way home, even though I won't be living in Floridia with the Floridians for a little while. I'll be somewhere. Even though I really liked it here, I have to say.
Even with all the crazy drivers? I mean, there are no rules on the
road.
People
drive like you really, really are on liquid and solid and powdered drugs. But besides that, I really liked it. It was good for me to be in it was healing in the tropics, to be outside all the time, to be very physically active. It's very healing, and I feel bad for everybody.
You've been biking miles and miles a day. I mean, seriously fit.
Miles and miles and miles.
I'm not going there. You have been biking
miles.
A lot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sometimes 7, sometimes 25 miles
a day.
But
they have bike messengers in Manhattan, though. But you're not going to plan to bike when you're there?
No, that's the job I'm getting.
Okay.
Even though there's an internet now and people can fax, I'm going to restart the messenger service.
You know, that's right. I hadn't been there so long, there probably aren't any bike messengers anymore.
Just a 50-year-old guy going, hey, I'll drop off some cookies for you. I'll eat a couple of them. No, I'm sure they still exist for emergency things like drugs from uptown to Wall Street. You know. Anyway, I was thinking about the meaning of the words, because I'm thinking, where are we living that we have no voice? And I was thinking, Democrats like to say, "Oh, democracy ruled by the people." You know, like it comes for that's what it means, ruled by the people. That's why we have to have AIDS drugs for everybody and mandatory health care given by the government, because we're for the people. We're a democracy. And then the Republicans come along and say, "We are not a democracy. We are a republic. We are law-abiding. We are the rule by law."
Mm-hmm. But if 51%, you know, pass a law that violates the rights of the other 49%, that sounds very... Well, I guess it's technically democratic, but not a rule of law scenario.
Hey, let's be clear about it. It doesn't have to be 51%. It has to be 3%. It has to be the money people who pay the lobbyists to get the thing into the docket in the first place. Mm-hmm, please. Mm-hmm. Please. We don't vote anyway. Robert, we don't vote. Lobbyists bring the things to the Congress people. And then they say, "Can I put an earmark on it? And how about let me pat it here on its tushy with some things that are good for me," says Barney Frank and all his people. Mm-hmm. And make sure that Provincetown has free HIV, AIDS, drug dispensaries, and I don't know, whatever. You understand, the things aren't really passed as laws. But what do the words mean? Democracy means rule by the demos. Krasi, it's the great Greek, not the German, Gesundheit. Krasi means the rule by the demos.
Yes.
That was Yiddish.
Little Hebrew and Yiddish.
Okay. It means rule by the people. Yeah. Of course, that's different than a republica from the Latin, the Greek, right? Predates Latin. The rule by republic or res publica certainly couldn't mean rule by the people. Instead, it means rule by the people.
Literally, I mean, there was a word difference.
Okay,
there,
res is the concern of.
Concern of.
Proxy is the rule of or concern of. Look, these are the same words from two civilizations that were subsequent or antecedent to each other. You understand that the Greeks, who were eaten by their own Peloponnesian War, the same kind. Hey, listen, everybody, wars destroy countries internally. And the Romans, who were destroyed by constant expansion, so that they. By the way, their constant expansion led to an overgrowth of what? A military, which needed to be fed, which led to a weakening of borders, and then Rome was what? Invaded
overtaken.
From the north by the Visigoths and Ostrogoths from the south by the name is Lydians? I can't quite remember the name.
But basically, they had no borders of their own they could defend because they're out there defending borders far, far away.
Right. So the
sound familiar?
City is overtaken many times, and it's still all these people then assimilate in. But the Roman Empire is diluted, and eventually the thing is claimed to have fallen in 476, but not before an emperor. I think maybe in the 200s called Diocletian. You can check this date on your giggle machine.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I, you know, that's because some of what you get on the Google is really over for laughs.
Giggle. We have to giggle.
We have to. But if you look up Dio, not Dio, not Ronnie James.
No, Ronnie James Dio, no.
No, Diocletian divided empire into, right, so the empire was divided under Diocletian. 244 to 311. Right. So he raised, what did he do? This will sound familiar. He raised taxes to the point that people could no longer afford to leave the empire. The rich people were trying to leave the empire and go to Uruguay. No, I'm sorry. That's the Bush family.
Yeah, he just took all their money, so they couldn't leave.
Couldn't leave, couldn't move. They became slaves to the land. Where do you think serfdom in the Middle Ages came from? It came out of this. It can be argued from
Ancient Rome.
Right, ancient Rome, when the tax became so high that you couldn't even leave, you couldn't go anywhere else. You became, even though you owned it, a slave to the land and the emperor to whom you had to pay taxes for the faulting empire. Until Robin Hood came along and met Maid Marian, and they had a couple of jolly ranchers.
Well, exactly.
I think we're making things up.
Sometimes. What about the constitutional republic versus a democratic republic? Because if I look into the history and you look at the founding fathers, the writings and things going back to so much of the philosophy that really inspired the founders of America, they would talk about a constitution, meaning a playbook, a rule book, a limiting factor on a republic, so that even if there were some semblance of democratic voting, you know, some sort of democracy within it, it wasn't set up to be a kind of a mob rule, 51% ruling the 49, or even as you said now, 3% ruling the 97 or 1% ruling the 99. Why? Ron Paul correctly says it's because the power is there. If you took the power away from the central government, the money would stop flowing there because there would be no reason that they would flow the money. Now they've got to try to target 50 or 100 or 500 municipalities by decentralizing the government, decentralizing any level of regulation, and it becomes untenable to near impossible to see what's happened with global corporations having no allegiance to any nation or state nor any human in America, except that they are demanding your customer status, right? Would it be vaccines? Big discussion about that. In fact, I covered a story the other day, Liam, on Virginia, where there was a law or there was a pending legislation that was put together by primarily Republicans, interestingly enough, to stop the mandate for HPV shots. And it got tabled for the year because all 100% of the Democrats said, no, we can't have that. And two Republicans defected to be with the Democrats so that it stopped that bill from, let's say, reducing or eliminating the mandate for HPV shots, right? So the Democrats, who are for the people, stood for the pharmaceutical industrial complex, as they did in California with Governor Moonbeam Brown there, also saying you can vaccinate the girls, the little girls there, without parental consent if they're at least 12.
I was listening, but also not paying attention.
Well, that's all right.
No, and I want to apologize. I didn't. I was hoping you wouldn't stop there. Mm-hmm. I was just trying to find some stuff on Diocletian to throw back in.
Okay.
I'm not trying to be rude.
Diocletian, isn't that the stuff to help remove heavy metals from your intestines?
When you take some of the clay. It's called Diocletian clay.
Diocletaceous manaceous earth.
So watch where you're going, my friend. Okay, this is the CIA fact book, a.k.a. the Wikipedia. I'm sorry.
No, come right back to it.
No, you were talking about the mandatory vaccine.
But it was related to the limited form of a constitutional republic, because you were talking about a republican democracy
rooted
the same way.
Yeah. I apologize. I'm sorry, I was just trying to find this bit, because I feel that we are at this Diocletian moment in the American empire. And the CIA Factbook, a.k.a. Wikipedia, fair on some things, unfair on others. Altogether, Diocletian effected a large increase in the number of, ready, bureaucrats at the government's command. Lactinius was to complain that there were now more men using tax money than were paying it. On and on it goes. The number of civil servants doubled, 15,000 to 30,000. One bureaucrat for every 5,000 to 10,000 people in Egypt.
Oh, it fits in with what I was saying then. Absolutely it does. Because the movement into a central power structure mandated that all those taxes would flow in, they would begin to support an ever-growing bureaucracy, or as we have Jonathan Emord, who we're going to see this weekend at the Health Freedom Expo, he talks about that we have devolved from a constitutional republic to a bureaucratic oligarchy.
Yeah, he doesn't mean tiger dance. I'm not going to explain that. And then it says that even in ancient Egypt they had a certain number of bureaucrats, but here at this point in ancient Rome, let's see, about 1,600 to 2,000 people per bureaucrat in this ancient empire. So they had more and more and more civil servants. They raised taxes. They doubled provinces to manage them differently with more people in charge of fewer things. You see how it was going? When did the Roman Empire fall? 100 and something years later. I mean, it takes a little while. But this is what happens. This is why I like the Ron Paul argument of less government, fewer. To use the lesson fewer thing correctly, which nobody does anymore, less government, fewer government officials, fewer. It's right. We don't want so many government officials. Oh, Democrats can't handle that. Well, actually, you need a health care provider for everybody who stubs their toe. Well, I want to tell Democrats one thing, and it's not very polite. It begins with the seventh letter of the alphabet, and there's another letter of the alphabet in the second word. I'm not going to name it, but here's the point. You don't need a healthcare provider for every time you have a hangnail. You don't. You need to grow up.
Yes. Well, let's grow up. Let's take a break and grow up. We're going to be joined by Bryce Shaka from the 10th Amendment Center.
Bryce Shaka.
Yes, coming up, along with Captain Kirk.
From the 10th Amendment Center.
After this on the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Beam me up, Scott.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Since the 1920s, people around the world have been using radio frequencies to safeguard the health of themselves and their families. Through this tested technology, pioneered by Royal Raymond Rife, researchers have found that specific radio frequencies can eliminate viruses, bacteria, molds, and parasites without harming normal healthy cells. Frequency technology could help millions now suffering from various infections, even arthritis, herpes, Lyme disease, and other painful chronic conditions. The BCX Ultra Frequency Instrument has been developed over a period of 30 years. The BCX Ultra is one of the most powerful healing tools ever. Turn ill health around. Enjoy life again. Start learning about the BCX Ultra today. Visit bioelectricsforhealth.com or call 1-800-936-6240. That's 1-800-936-6240. Call today and start the healing.
Are you looking for a whole food that will have a positive impact on your health? Guaranteed. Do you suffer from an autoimmune disease like diabetes, Crohn's, arthritis, heart disease, allergies, and more? ImmuneTree Colostrum is the only true third-party certified, tested organic colostrum. Hello, I'm Dr. Anthony Kleinsmith, PhD, founder of the world's most bioactive colostrum, which is free of pesticides and hormones. Colostrum is Mother Nature's perfectly formed natural nanotechnology for balancing the body and helping with rejuvenation, regeneration, immune enhancement, and regulation. It contains all of the anti-aging factors, immune factors, essential factors, and metabolic factors. This first food gives you what you need for youth, health, and vitality. Call us today at 888-617-8733 or visit us online at www.immunetree.com. That's 888-617-8733 or www.immunetree.com.
For thousands of years, silver has played an essential role in safeguarding human health. Robert Scott Bell Show listeners know that Sovereign Silver Bioactive Silver Hydrosol is the purest and most effective form of silver available. Only Sovereign Silver contains the smallest and most active particles in every bottle, each batch rigorously safety tested to guarantee the highest quality. At only 10 parts per million, Sovereign Silver outperforms other colloidal silvers 50 times more concentrated. Sovereign Silver acts faster than echinacea, oil of oregano, and other immune products. Tastes like water and has more uses than anything else for the immune system. And Sovereign Silver now comes in a topical first aid gel. Use Sovereign Silver gel on cuts, scrapes, minor burns, bug bites, itching, eczema, diaper rash, and more. Sovereign Silver is the number one selling silver brand in the U.S. For a free information packet to order or for a store near you, call 888-328-8840. That's 888-328-8840 or visit sovereignsilver.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, welcome to the greatest show on earth!
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Alive, it's alive, it's alive!
Smash
man who outsmarted you and your gang is none other than
Robert Scott Bell.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
Robert Scott Bell.
You see, we're on a mission from God.
A little political healing here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Back at it, Liam Sheff in studio, recorded ahead here for Thursday's show because we're traveling to the Health Freedom Expo. And right now joining us via Skype, my good friend Bryce Shanka from the 10th Amendment Center as well. Bryce, thanks for coming on with no notice.
Thank you, Robert. Well, I've always got time for you.
Well, I appreciate it. Now, Liam, I want you to read something here because we've just been discussing how history is absolutely repeating itself with the fall of empires, how they devolved into what Jonathan E. Mord, who's going to be with us at the Health Freedom Expo, called the bureaucratic oligarchy, the growth of the government class, that everybody ultimately works for the government until the whole thing collapses. Where was this from that you were reading?
Well, here? The CIA fact book, a.k.a. the Wikipedia, which gets anything wrong on medicine, but, you know, on ancient history is fair because there's nobody alive to suffer from telling the truth. So, you know, anything more than 500 years old, except for Shakespeare, you know, you can tell the truth. But what we have in the ancient Roman Empire is an increase in what? Taxation. Why? Because the empire is burdened by overexpansion through the many Caesars, not just Julius and Augustus, but through Nero and even the Pius, as Antoninus Pius and Marcus Aurelius. They still were involved in foreign wars of conquest, of bringing in Britain. I mean, there's a Roman wall at the end of Great Britain, you know, leading into Scotland. They traveled. They got around the old world. So they expanded, and the Roman senators called these things sometimes illegal wars. They accused Julius Caesar in whatever, 50, 44 BC, of conducting illegal wars, and the empire lasted for another 500 years after that anyway. But it was descending into what they called an empire, and they bemoaned, oh, we've lost the republic. We've lost the republic. So somewhere in the 300s AD, Diocletian, another Roman empire, comes along and he says, well, we got to manage this, and we're going to put the burden on the taxpayer. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter that these were wars of conquest. We're not going to shrink the empire very much. We're going to increase the number of soldiers, mm-hmm. right? Conscript soldiers, but soldiers for hire, maybe Blackwater, you know, maybe these fellows who now go overseas on our behalf, but not really serving the res publica, not serving the rule or concerns of the people, but serving the rule of the foreign dictator that we're supposedly helping or hurting or some such thing, or the dictator in power over here. So the Roman Empire expanded. Taxation increased to pay soldiers. It increased, and it was so burdensome that it kept people locked onto their land. So even the wealthy couldn't afford to leave anymore, right? But here's a line I just wanted to read. Diocletian's expansion of the army and civil service meant that the empire's tax burden grew. Sound familiar?
Mm-hmm.
Since military upkeep took the largest portion of the imperial budget, any reforms here would be especially costly. Now, soldiers then, because there was so little, you needed the money coming in, but if you didn't get it, you just had to let the soldiers take what they could find.
Well, and now in a current American day time, you have the NDAA saying, hey, soldiers, you want to take that American over there. Conscript, like, yeah, you, because especially the ones that are speaking out against it, like Bryce Shanka here joining us from the 10th Amendment Center. And Bryce, I want to bring you in on the conversation, but isn't it fascinating how they say history repeats, but Liam just went in there and just laid it out as if it were today.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I mean, even if you go and read the Constitution, the first part where they're laying out the case against King George, and you go and you swap the words King George for D.C., it is a eerie similarity to the position we find ourselves in today.
Eerie is an understatement, I think. And as Liam's talking about the expansion of the soldier class, et cetera, everybody's working for the government. Now, those that are speaking out against it, the paranoia is growing, of course, within all the government agencies to the point where they say, okay, if you mention the 10th Amendment, which hasn't been officially, if you will, repealed from the Constitution, you might be a terrorist, might be somebody that would fall under the NDAA, someone that needs to be renditioned out of here and sent to Guantanamo Bay.
Yeah. Well, that's what they were saying. And, you know, for those that doubt the severity of the NDAA's implications, all you have to do is go and look at the attempt before it was passed to specifically say, hey, you know, let's not say that we're going to do this to American citizens. And that was rejected. So in my mind, that is the smoking gun right there that indicates their intent with those portions of the bill, sections 1021, 1022.
All right. Well, what kind of, let's say, rebellion is out there that you're seeing? I've heard that there are some states that are looking to nullify it officially, some local municipalities. What's the? I know you're working on this for the 10th Amendment Center and beyond. What do you find is going on out there?
There is a huge resistance that has come about overnight, basically, that is a really starting to show itself as a true junction of left and right, of progressives and libertarians and Tea Party types who are all recognizing the danger in letting the government take a step like the NDAA. And you're seeing it at the municipal level. There are multiple cities. There's Fremont, California. There is a municipality in Massachusetts and a couple of others, I believe Rhode Island. There are three counties that I know of in Colorado. I am speaking to people in Idaho who think that a majority of the counties there may follow suit. I'm hearing similar things from folks in Florida. And we also have nine states that have already introduced legislation. Some of them using the legislation that we provide at the 10th Amendment Center that would effectively say, no, this is not something that you can do, and we're not going to allow it in the state. Some of the language includes penalties. Some of it, such as in Virginia, literally refers to it as kidnapping and refers to it as provisions for kidnapping. And so this is happening very quickly. We at 10th Amendment Center are now talking to plenty of progressives that didn't want anything to do with us before.
Interesting.
But suddenly have found that we are really good partners in this effort and seeking to work with us.
But Obama promised he wouldn't use the power.
Of course, he promised he wouldn't, but that is not binding.
Well,
that means that even if he holds true to that promise, mm-hmm. which, I mean, looking at his track record on
promises,
it's not likely. But all it would take is, the next president being perfectly willing to use that power. And all of a sudden, there you go. I mean, you can't go after it in court because the damaged parties are never heard from again.
Right.
They're not even going to be allowed to see a lawyer. Mm-hmm. So this, in my mind, is the recourse that we must take. This is what Jefferson would have told us to do, which is just as Rosa Parks did, refuse compliance.
You know, in real life, black holes don't exist, but they do exist in the mind of progressives who still don't get this. And I'm glad to hear you're saying some of them are finally coming on board, because it's been frustrating to me that they would be screaming about it if Bush was doing it and are silent on Obama taking steps much even worse, if that was possible, than Bush.
Yeah, it is worse. It is worse because he's been operating under what I like to call the veil of compassion, which is that he's convinced a lot of very compassionate people that that's his intention and that's his agenda. And so they're willing to give him carte blanche in anything he says he needs to do to fix the problems. But as those who are looking with clear eyes see, it's doing nothing but creating a very, very dangerous precedent.
Liam, not that you would use the power, but if you had the power to kidnap anybody, who would you kidnap?
I guess Angie Harmon when she was on Law and Order back in, what? Oh, was that a series?
I was thinking you were going to say Angelina Jolie because mentioned her.
No, never my type.
No, okay.
K-R-A-Z-E-E-E. But, okay, let me think. Who else? Bridget Bardot? No, it's never a Bridget. Kidnap? I would never kidnap anybody.
No, I know, but
I was just thinking about what George Jefferson would have done. He would have walked in and said, Whitey! Thomas Jefferson.
Thomas Jefferson.
Do you think he was related to?
No.
Is that a different?
But he loved a woman of color, evidently, historically
of
speaking.
Of color.
Yes.
You mean a tanner person.
You know, someone who had more pigment.
Right.
But how do we even get locked into these terms? Somebody of color, people of color, like Gesundheit. I mean, you just see transparent
things
walking
around.
Well,
that's where we can claim to be deficient or challenged. As I've said, pigmentally challenged is a great way to describe somebody who's considered white, who's nobody's really white unless you're an albino.
Wish I were tanner.
Anyway, the book in the covers that we do not judge people by. Bryce, I'm sorry, we lost you there.
No, keep going. Don't ask me who I would kidnap.
We're recording ahead today. We acknowledge that because we've got so much coming up at the Health Freedom Expo. And Bryce, we're glad you're on board here because we're getting a little punch drunk as we continue on. We've got a lot of topics to cover, and having you on board is grounding. No one would know this, but it's very cool to have you on board. Cool.
Oh, thank you.
Back from kidnapping to back to serious climbs.
Well, I think that what you're seeing is just more and more of the effect. The Ron Paul business is sort of one aspect of it that's really encouraging. I think that movement is really waking a lot of people up. You've got people like Robin Kerner and his Blue Republican Project, where he's actually he's very busy flying around the country right now speaking to groups of Democrats about registering Republican just so they can support Ron Paul.
Yes. Bryce, have you shaved? I'm hearing some scratching on your microphone there.
It's probably my sweater. I'm sorry.
It's the sweater. It's the furry wall. It's your hairy chest, is it not?
That's not really out.
I'm sorry. The levity is happening whether we want it or not. It's happening.
It's here. It's here. It's happening. But, there are many encouraging signs that as the attempts to clamp down on our liberty are ramping up, so are the numbers of people that are willing to resist. Another group I'm talking to right now is forming a lawsuit against the federal government as we speak. Revolution Truth. It's another organization, kind of similar to 10th Amendment Center in their size and the fact that they're unfunded and completely independent. But yes, they've got Noam Chomsky on board as part of a multi-plaintiff lawsuit over the NDAA. So there's lots of things cooking.
Wow, fantastic. Very exciting what's happening here. Listen, I want to take a break. Bryce, can you hang out for one more segment with us?
Yes.
All right, we're going to talk about how you can help the 10th Amendment Center and just yourself in not being renditioned, not being kidnapped, all the things you can do to resist. It's beyond just saying no, literally. It's withdrawing your consent to something like this. And we're talking more about that with Bryce Shanka here from the 10th Amendment Center. Remember, Nullify Now coming up in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Yours truly will be there along with Tom Woods, Sheriff Richard Mack, and more. We'll get more information on that coming up. Stand by. Say thanks to our sponsors. Coming right back after this.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Welcome to the United States of Health Talk Radio. Health talk that doesn't suck.
The latest news flash. There's good news from Australia and One Stop Health Shop. Now you can get the papaya products your body needs to fight aging and combat damage to the central nervous system. Products that aid plasma glucose level decrease, assist in weight loss, support wound healing, and combat many diseases. Papaya leaf extract actually reduces oxidative stress and boosts your immune system. The probiotic formula is documented to be antibacterial, antifungal, and antiviral. Papaya is one of the richest sources of antioxidants and is up to 20 times more powerful than vitamin E. Log on now to one-stop-health-shop.com to see and read the good news about these 100% organic products. The good news is papaya leaf extract is now available from one-stop-health-shop.com.
Hi, this is Robert Scott Bell, and I want to tell you about my great friends at Enterfood.com. Like me, the folks at Enterfood are fighting the good fight for your total health freedom. Their super green energy drink, Enterfood, is full of natural ingredients like spirulina and chlorella, which can improve your immune system and detox you from harmful radiation. Enterfood was voted best superfood by Mike Adams and the Southwest College of Naturopathic Medicine. Enterfood.com is one-stop shopping for all your health and survival needs. Try their meal replacement product for those watching their weight. Organic immune support coffee, cocoa, coconut milk powder, and herbal tinctures for your every need. Enterfood.com now has developed a new survival preparedness pail packed with all organic, tasty, non-GMO foods to get you and your family through any disaster. All of these great products are now available to you for a 10% discount when you mention the Robert Scott Bell Show. Call them to order at 866-762-9238. That's 866-762-9238. Or go to our product page at Enterfood.com. That's Enerfood.com.
information is so good, it requires no expiration date. The Robert Scott Bell Show.
We were talking on the break to Bryce Shanka from the 10th Amendment Center, joins us now, and he had mentioned about the kidnapping thing. I'm not going to reveal your secret. You might want to tell us who might be, and I would support this kidnapping because it would protect the rest of the planet, but go ahead and let loose on that.
Oh, well, you know, I'm not a violent person.
No, not at all. You're not.
But the violent thoughts that I have had the last decade or so have been specifically focused on Monsanto. Their scheme was so sinister to me that it really reached to my primal core of my fight or flight response.
Well, they've been visiting violence upon the planet and the people and animals of the planet by what they've done to nature and biotechnology and genetic engineering. You go on and on.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, certainly. It's an example of what's wrong with centralization as a concept. It's not going to ever work out well for average folks.
Now, I mentioned the descent into a bureaucratic oligarchy, but who has, let's say, encouraged it? Of course, the centralization of power has allowed an ease with which the global corporations to basically take over and control via money, profiting, backroom deals, bribes, or they call it lobbying. And now the corporations themselves may be in control. And you have said something to us on the break I don't know that a lot of people are aware of. The danger of Monsanto is not just Monsanto itself, but it's expanded. What has happened?
I've read reports that Monsanto and the lovely Blackwater Corporation are now working together in cahoots. I believe that Blackwater has been hired on as their security wing, which is match made in hell, really.
So basically all the people that are protesting out, speaking out against Monsanto, genetic engineering, biotechnology, now may have to deal with the private, often government-funded, though, but private armies of Blackwater and the like.
That's the implications, yeah.
That is not a pretty implication. Not a pretty implication. So the question is, how do you withdraw consent, defund that? And I think that comes back to so much of the decentralization of power that we're looking to encourage through the 10th Amendment and more, or as Ron Paul has also said, allow a competition, for instance, in money so that you are no longer required by the artificiality of the money itself to pay tribute to a king, emperor, or anything that we are not supposed to have based on a constitutional republic that seemingly no longer exists.
Sure. Yeah, it's a problem with no easy solution, but you know, one way that you can fight back against something like Monsanto is to strike at the root and to limit the ability of GMOs to proliferate in the market. There is a bill that was being discussed. I haven't tracked it. I'm not sure where it's at, but in California as well as in here in Washington, there were two initiatives that would require labeling of anything containing GMOs as such.
And how has that been successful on the state level, or has that been thwarted by the lobbyists on that level?
I think it's still in the trenches right now. I don't think, and it seems to be the beginning of a trend. There's a lot of headlines that are showing losses for Monsanto specifically in legal precedent and whatnot. But if those were to go through, and the reason why they haven't so far, as you well know, is that the federal government, once again, is sort of protecting mm-hmm. Monsanto's operation by prohibiting the labeling of GMOs, by stopping state labeling and demanding that things are adhering to federal standards, even if they don't use the word GMO specifically. That's the net effect. So if a state like Washington or California does it, that's, there again, nullification. Mm-hmm. Hey, you federal government, this is not something that you're supposed to be doing. We're going to take it from here. Thanks a lot. Have a nice day.
You think that'd be another alignment for a progressive to say, okay, 10th Amendment and Center, you're not so bad after all.
Yeah, we're not. We're not. And, you know, the conversations are happening now mm-hmm. where these groups are really only, it's only taken about 5 minutes of a group conference call mm-hmm. for them to realize, oh yeah, these guys are not what Think Progress wrote about them.
Yeah. Well, you know. And you're not going, see, we told you so. I mean, you're not rubbing it in their faces.
Yeah, no, we because that's not
just
that's
a
not
just a little. I mean, I would, but no, I'm just kidding. I would.
The point is to form a united front, and that really is what you're starting to see, and it's exciting.
Well, no, that is absolutely amazing. Now that's why again, Nullify Now, the tour continues this year. Next date March 31st, and in Philadelphia, and I'm looking forward to being up there with all my friends at the 10th Amendment Center. And yes, Liam.
I didn't know that.
What?
That you were going to something in
Philadelphia.
Smellydelphia.
Are you going to be in New York by then? Because that's a short train ride down, too.
No, it's too far.
Oh. What? It's like an hour, right?
I don't like Philadelphia very much.
You don't like Philly?
What?
Come on.
How dare you?
There's vegetarian food in Philly.
You got to like the Liberty Bell.
What? What?
It's just
such a.
It's a horrible city to live in. It's great to visit.
But there you go. You're only visiting. To all of our listeners in Philadelphia.
I speak of personal experience. And listen, everybody in Philadelphia, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's dark and miserable, and then it's really humid in the summer, and you go down to South Street, and you walk, and there's Zipperhead, and you go there. Hey, do they still have the Asian grocery? That's what I want to know. I used to go there all the time. I know the city. Believe me, I sort of came of age there. It's a tough town.
Okay.
It's very, 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 very starkly.
But it's very religious. I hear they have a big temple there.
Economically. Yeah, they have a big temple. I went to Temple University and studied at the University of Comedy and Jello and whatnot. And I used to go down to 8th Street Music. I mean, I had, whatever. Okay, so when is your Philadelphia thing?
March 31st is the Nullify Now event. Saturday.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, really.
Truly?
Truly. Really and truly. Hey, Bryce, you can confirm it. You're still with the 10th Amendment Center.
Yes. Yes.
I've been validated.
You've had Mac on the show before, haven't you?
Sheriff Mac. Yes, I have. I need to get him back on since his Las Vegas event because we previewed that with all the sheriffs coming to Las Vegas, and Michael Badnarik was there. Of course, Liz Reitzig from the Raw Milk Freedom Riders was there. We were talking about it. So yeah, Sheriff Mac is awesome.
That was a really cool thing too. I definitely would love to talk about that for a minute. But, yeah, we're having Sheriff Mack and Tom Woods will also be there.
Yep, and I promised Tom Woods I'd find him an organic Philly cheesesteak, and Liam doesn't think it exists.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
I don't even know what you just said.
Listeners in Philadelphia, and I know you're out there,
Hold on a second.
What?
Organic cheesesteak?
Yeah, an organic Philly cheesesteak.
They take some motor oil. They put it on a metal sledge. They put some sort of petrol fire under it. They find something from somewhere that used to be a large animal. They cut it into pieces and fry it in butter and suet and whatever else they can find. They put some sort of Velveeta on it, and they put that on white. They call it a hoagie roll. They don't say hoagie. They say hoagie.
I don't think you know what you're saying right
my
now.
My stomach. My heart hurts.
That's
now.
Not what I'm talking about. I'm trying to help Tom Woods out because he's on a carnivore caveman kind of diet. I just want to make sure it's clean. That's all.
I don't think the cheesesteak and clean go together. I think you got to roll the hard
Listen,
six.
I'm ever the optimist.
Oh, man.
All right.
Ooh, try a salad and just have – oh, my God.
All right, Bryce, what do you want to talk about now that he's grossed us all out?
Me? Have you been to Pat Steaks or Gino's?
I have not.
I have. My heart hurts right now. It hurts.
It's like the Heart Attack Grill.
Oh, my. It is the Heart Attack Grill. It's the original. No, we went there. Look, I ran the art museum steps a million times, you know, because Rocky did.
Mm-hmm.
I know the city.
Okay.
All right.
All right, Bryce. Come on
I bet you Sheriff Mack will take down one of those Philly cheesesteaks.
Yeah, he doesn't have that culinary discrepancy between organic and non-organic, I don't think.
Yeah, that...
I'm trying. You know, I try to bring that into the freedom movement.
That anxious note about not eating grade C left. Oh, my God. You don't want to know what's in there. Mm. Don't ask.
Nope.
Just eat it.
Right.
Or don't.
Yeah, his sheriff event in Las Vegas was another milestone, in my opinion.
Because, were you able to be there for that?
I wasn't there, but I talked to people that were involved with the fundraising part of it. And who were there, and they said that it was about 20% of the sheriffs that were there, and there was hundreds of sheriffs. 20% of them, sorry, about a third of them were on board already, you know, card-carrying Sheriff Mack, constitutional sheriffs. And then there was about 30% that wanted more information. And then there was about another third that were just there to kind of check it out. They got a free ticket to Las Vegas, and they took it.
Mm-hmm.
So by the end of the thing, apparently, to a man, every single person there was just on board. And if that's an indication of how big this is going to really be with the sheriffs across the republic, then I think that we can all breathe a little bit easier.
Well, tell the listening audience, too, I've described it to some degree, and we had Sheriff Mack on there, your understanding of how the sheriffs have more power in their locality, county, et cetera, than the so-called federal bureaucracies like FBI, FDA, et cetera, IRS even.
Well, the way Sheriff Mack broke it down for me when we were having lunch before our Phoenix event that he spoke at was when he was a fairly new sheriff, and there was another sheriff, and I can't recall the man's name, but he was sort of the highest ranking, at least in their local hierarchy there in Arizona. And apparently the FBI or some other federal agency had just started doing exercises there in the middle of the desert and hadn't contacted anyone about it, just showed up and started dropping people out of helicopters, you know, whatever.
Practicing for the NDAA, no doubt.
Yeah, practicing for, whatever it is they are planning on doing. and apparently this sheriff knew his stuff and knew his constitution and understood the proper role and had the head of the FBI in that region in his office. And Sheriff Mack was privy to this. And watched as this sheriff ripped to shreds this FBI man for some considerable amount of time.
Verbally. Yeah, he wasn't a turn into a werewolf or anything.
Right. Yeah, no, not actual shreds.
Yeah.
Correct.
But I mean, he tore him a new one verbally about his constitutional limitations.
Turned him into a Philly cheesesteak right there.
Right there.
That's right. And according to Mac's story, that was the end of that sort of thing. They weren't back.
They never showed up again. Yeah, he said, don't even try to come into my jurisdiction unless you have some kind of warrant, authority, or some kind of, judges, whatever.
He said that you got to have permission from me.
Period. Wow. That's big. If the sheriffs really pick it up, then they will start throwing out the federal government almost everywhere where they don't belong.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're starting to see that in little bits here and there. The dairy farm in Indiana story.
Yeah, the Elkhart. That's right. He threw him out there. The federal authorities, FDA, was trying to raid another farmer that was doing raw milk, and the sheriff said, no, you're not coming in here. You don't have authority to come in here. And they backed off.
Right.
That's huge.
And as the federal government sees a decline in the amount of resources that they have, which is inevitable, the sheriffs are not dependent on big money to run their operations, and how are they going to crack down on sheriffs in even half the counties of this republic? Doesn't add up. Especially, and I mentioned this on a conference call recently too. You got all these cases where the Homeland Security is sending these armored vehicles and assault rifles and everything to these sheriffs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, who's to say that those sheriffs don't turn into Richard Mack sheriffs? And all of a sudden, they got a pretty good batch of toys to arm their posse with.
It could backfire on them. That's right.
It could. So, yeah, I think that is another really encouraging development.
But some will certainly give in to the power structure.
Oh yeah, of course. You can't win them all. But
I mean, if we lose Philadelphia and Philly cheesesteaks, we'll still survive.
There are a lot of tough people in Philly. I really hope they stand up for the freedom that city's supposed to be about.
Yeah, with the Liberty Bell there, I hope that they know something about freedom and would defend it.
Well, I'm having deja vu. I feel like it's a beer and pretzel city. Do you know that? I went to college there for a little while. And hung out there, and I sort of, like I said, I came of age in that city. I learned really to walk very tough streets in a pretty tough city and to mind my own business and to keep my eyes open, and it was a kind of an interesting, tough education. I lived in North Philly and really what's called the ghetto, and I lived in West Philly in what's sort of a lesser ghetto, but it's black community, whatever you want to call it. Near where I lived, they had this thing called the Move House, where the city of Philadelphia actually bombed a house because it was full of black activists. They actually bombed a house in the city with, I think, air power, I think, through a helicopter.
Yeah.
It's a strange city. It's a tough city. It's an interesting city. It's not really a healthy city. Mm-hmm. And if you want snack food on the street, they used to sell them four for a dollar, these big soft pretzels that essentially had road salt on them.
The stuff they used to melt the snow in the winter.
Yeah, more or less.
Oh, my God.
And you had to soak these things in enough mustard just to soak into the amount of white flour you were getting so it would digest.
Wow.
But you see a lot of big people there. Yeah. So
let me ask you, Liam. You know, I'll be there. Bryce, I don't know. You not everybody's traveling to every one of these events, but Liam, do you think you can make it March 31st? Will you be close enough in New York by then?
If they have pretzels, maybe I'll be there.
All right. Organic pretzels, organic Philly cheese. We got a tall order here, Bryce.
Organic whole wheat pretzels.
We're going to see what we can find.
I think that's going to be fun as a subplot.
Yeah, the subplot is on. And I've already told Tom Woods that we're looking. I don't know that he's holding his breath, but I'm sure he'd be happy if I could find one for him.
Well, there is a good... I mean, if it's still there, a scene in S-E-E-N-E. Here I go. I'm looking on the giggle, Philly. A scene market in Philadelphia. You know, they're a real competition to the Whole Foods, which opened up on South Street, and mm-hmm. they're locally owned, and they have been forever. I briefly worked there in my youth, you know, toting bags of stuff. And
Whole Foods has become so big, I think the Essene store is going to have to use the 10th Amendment against them.
Yeah, but we can go down there, and they have great, healthy, wonderful, macrobiotic, inspired, but very diverse foods.
And Bryce is totally into that, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, I can talk a little bit about something I found after I moved up here to Seattle, which is a co-op up here called PCC.
Oh, yeah.
They've been around for decades, and what they have done, which is brilliant, is just about anything you need, you mm-hmm. can buy there in any amount you want. Everything wow. from hair products to dry goods to spices.
So bulk stuff.
Yeah, but... you know, thinking about it, a for-profit corporation doesn't really have an incentive to do that, do they?
Not really.
No, because they're interested in selling units. And if they can get you to buy 5 ounces instead of 1.5, which is all you need, then, you know, they're cool with selling the 5 ounces.
Right. So PCC lets you do bulk hand lotions and hair care. And you're right. They're like they're an old-timey co-op.
Yeah, but that is the answer to so many of these problems that we're having with the centralized food supply system. And, you know, the other way that PCC, for example, is beating Whole Foods is they have local meats. They're able to make deals with local dairies, local meat providers.
Right.
And so you've got local grass-fed beef. I've been looking for mm-hmm. this. I could not find this stuff in California.
Right. But, you know, the thing about the PCC, I don't know if this is true for them, it's like you have to carry it out in your hands because you're not allowed any containers. So if you're, like, getting bulk soap,
no.
you just got to hold. No? No, you don't pour
no,
it in?
No, they'll give you a container.
Okay, all right.
No, you know, my partner who passed, and I, Helen, used to live... What's the one on the other side? It's not in the downtown PCC. What's, Bryce, you know? The PCC.
In Seattle?
Yeah, in Seattle.
Yeah.
But the
PCC. I think there's like seven of them now.
There's a lot of them, yeah.
Okay, there's one. It's on the universe, you know, UW. It's on that side of one of the waterways. Anyway, we used to live around the corner from that. And so I spent a lot of time in that PCC, and it was our favorite place to go, of course.
Nice.
Yeah. So I know what you're talking about.
Well, we'll find something like that in Philly then.
Yeah. Let's see in markets.
That's our goal. Well, listen, Bryce, I appreciate you coming on board. We're out of time this hour, and we're looking forward to all that you're researching on the NDAA and any articles coming up. We've got the links up to the 10th Amendment Center. And, Liam, maybe bonus time if you can make it to Philly for that event, too.
Yeah, I can tell him about fake fraudulent medical testing and how that That's infringes right. people's rights all the time.
And next hour, we're going to talk about that with Terry Michael. There's all kinds of weird stuff on the HIV front we're going to cover, AIDS front, right? Next hour.
And birds and bats.
And bat flu. Oh, my gosh. Bryce, thanks for being on board.
Thank you, Robert. We'll see you guys in Philly.
Hey, remember, the power to heal is yours.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Are you looking for a whole food that will have a positive impact on your health? Guaranteed. Do you suffer from an autoimmune disease like diabetes, Crohn's, arthritis, heart disease, allergies, and more? ImmuneTree Colostrum is the only true third-party certified, tested organic colostrum. Hello, I'm Dr. Anthony Kleinsmith, PhD, founder of the world's most bioactive colostrum, which is free of pesticides and hormones. Colostrum is Mother Nature's perfectly formed natural nanotechnology for balancing the body and helping with rejuvenation, regeneration, immune enhancement, and regulation. It contains all of the anti-aging factors, immune factors, essential factors, and metabolic factors. This first food gives you what you need for youth, health, and vitality. Call us today at 888-617-8733 or visit us online at www.immunetree.com. That's 888-617-8733 or www.immunetree.com.
Listening to the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Today, health insurance reform is the law of the land.
The health care law was supposed to keep medical costs down, but a new report says your payments are expected to jump.
I think I made a mistake.
Robert Scott Bell.
A coalition of public health advocates targeting Ronald McDonald.
I'd love to see Ronald McDonald retired. Let's kill him off like we did Joe Camel.
Oh, look at that!
Robert Scott Bell.
Side effects may include
depressed mood,
thoughts of suicide,
insomnia,
suicide may occur,
diarrhea,
unusual or strange dreams,
agitation,
sexual side effects,
drowsiness, dizziness,
and nausea,
hostility,
trouble sleeping,
seizures,
serious skin reactions,
thoughts of suicide,
risk of suicide may occur.
Oh yeah, drugs. You gotta have drugs.
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom and making sense out of medical propaganda. The voice of health, freedom, and liberty, Robert Scott Bell.
This hour on the Robert Scott Bell Show, as we record ahead, because we're traveling to the Health Freedom Expo, and Liam Sheff's helped me out. As he does, he is a superhero sidekick, if there ever was one. You'll get to meet him tomorrow at the Health Freedom Expo, as well as we talk about AIDS and I talk about HPV and so many other things that are happening. Lots of posters we'll be revealing there as well. Lots of cool stuff. Hey, bird flu, cow flu, goat flu, pig flu, swine flu. No, it's the bat flu. Did you see this article here? The CDC is not, we're not scared enough, Liam. We're just not scared enough. They got to come up with another flu. And what could be scarier than the bat flu? I'm bat flu. Be very scared.
Tell all your friends about me.
Yes. And they have a picture on this page here, and it's on the Wichita Eagle. I don't know why the Wichita, Kansas newspaper picked this story up and ran with it, but it coming out of an AP medical writer, which is propaganda, associated propaganda. That's what AP, you know, that stands for, associated propaganda.
That's very clever.
And there is the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, which we know is the Centers for Disease Creation and Promotion. They have an undated photo holding up a scary bat. Scary bat. It's going to get you. And so now it's bat flu because Russian virologists, you know how they'll be Russian because you won't understand their accents enough to know that they're speaking complete gobbledygook, means nothing to no one except, hey, it's Russian. It must be dangerous. It's like it's got to be a communist flu. The communist bat flu plot, Liam. That's what we're dealing with here.
Well, bats play such a large role in so many of our lives that it was only a matter of time before it came back to haunt us.
We
enslaved them for purposes of pulling heavy machinery.
Right. The bats are running. Yeah, you know that. That goes back to modern agriculture, 1900s at the dawn of AIDS.
Yes.
Dawn
of AIDS in the 1600s.
Right, yes, yes.
As you remember, the great AIDS epidemic, that's why America almost wasn't founded, because so many people had HIV AIDS. Well, right. We'll talk.
By the way, Terry Michael's coming up this hour. We've been talking about that we'd be getting him on. And this guy knows his stuff, does he not?
Yeah, he's a very cool dude. He knows his stuff. Inside and outside of the gay community, inside and outside of liberalism and libertarianism, he knows his stuff.
We've had him on once before, I remember.
Yep. I had a little show, and he was on as a regular. Mm-hmm. And he's always sending out the best information. So he sent out this great commentary on how the bats being used as slaves accidentally caused the time influx wormhole in the space-time continuum in the 1600s, which created the alien monkey beast coming. No, I'm sorry. This is the NPR story.
Don't you remember?
I apologize. I was reading the NPR story. The NPR story that we'll get to says apparently that because of an influx Ferkelmuckle in the space-time continuum, the HIV virus
was sped back in time
now.
Since before the book and the band played
and on. Then came the band started the
way
thing
back
came
when?
To Haiti and then to America, but then got sent back because a guy licked an envelope and it was still a little bit wet and somebody opened it.
Remember they said return to sender in Haiti because we didn't speak bat
return
language.
Return to sender.
Yes. By the way, flu bugs are common in humans, birds, and pigs.
This will all be explained over the course of the hour.
I did have to hit the bat flu because this is more stunning propaganda from Associated Propaganda and, of course, the CDC. This idea. Remember the bat cats. They crossbred bats and cats so you'd have little furry bat cats in home that would bite you and then give you bat AIDS.
I remember that.
If you think we're being irreverent, yes, we are, because it's so absurd. The lack of scientific validity as they keep coming out with another way to reinvent that AIDS is caused by a virus that nobody has seen, nobody can isolate, nobody can test for, but yes, we have tests that we're going to be profiting off of, and we want everybody to get it, especially if you're black, if you're Hispanic, if you're poor, if you live in the inner city, you especially get it. If any of you white rich folks get it, it's a false positive no matter what happens. No matter what the test, it doesn't matter. You're not at risk because you don't have enough pigment, you're not poor enough, you don't live in the inner city, and that's what causes AIDS.
Bat flu.
Da na 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 na.
Bat flu. So, watch out. We had this piggy flu in the 70s. We had the swine flu in the 70s.
You got to hear this, Liam. This is going back centuries now with bat flu. They're saying bat flu has been around for centuries.
All right.
I'm not making this up. Scientists suspect that some bats caught flu centuries ago. I'm not making this up. And that the virus mutated within the bat population into this new variety recently. Wait, did you ever hear about...
I remember that movie. Steve McQueen was in it. And an asteroid came from outer space, and they picked it up on a stick.
Yes.
And it was kind of gooey. And then it ate everybody in the movie theater.
The swine bat flu
of 1918. That was the blob.
The blob. That was a scary movie.
That was cool.
I remember that.
The jelly coming through the movie projector.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was just a blob. And it was it was just a blob.
Now kids play with blobs.
I know. Now you have this aerosolized. We suspect that in 1476, when Columbus sailed the River Styx, he brought with him some bats, and he petted them, and then they became used to the affection, defecated into a sandwich, and when he ate it, he spread the bat flu.
Oh, yeah, only because he was vaccinated for it first. Scientists haven't even been able, listen to this, to grow the new virus that they say exists. We can't grow it. We don't know. But it's bat flu. We can't grow it in chicken eggs or human cell cultures.
Oh, they'll work it out.
You think so?
Oh, they'll make something up.
There'll be a bat test. The bat test. Are you bat positive?
We're very curious. This is a wily, fragile virus that's spread by bats. If they start killing bats, I might start...
Bats are very important.
You know what? I really like these little batty guys. Yeah. They get
rid of some skeeters.
They're
friends of ours.
Skeeters.
Skeeters! What do you call them in Boston? Mosquitoes.
We call them mosquitoes.
Mosquitoes.
Yes.
No, they're skeeters.
No, they're sorry.
You know what they call them in Australia?
Three syllables.
You know what they call them in Australia? Mozzies.
Yeah.
They do. Mozzies.
That's what I said. There you go. The white trash continent.
The penal colony calls them mozzies. But it still could pose a threat to humans, Liam. Don't laugh.
Write your
letters.
It
could pose a threat to humans, for example, if it mingled with more common forms of influenza, of course, the CDC is doing right now. We're experimenting. We're going to cross the chicken flu with the bat flu just to see what happens.
I want to express my love and kindness to all of my Australian friends. Everything said in here, even though it might be true... No, white trash continent. How dare you say that about Australia? No,
well, they're going to beat you with a didgeridoo stick if you keep this up when they see
you.
We're
going to get all diggeridoo.
Mm-hmm.
We'll show you, Liam.
All right, take a little bit of yerba mate here. Continue on. I think the mate has kicked in. Can you notice the way the mate has kicked in
this hour? Yeah, you're suddenly bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. Is that it?
No, I've turned into a bat. The research was posted online Monday, in the journal called Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. This is how good science is nowadays. We're going to the bat flu we can't find must have happened centuries ago, just like now they're saying AIDS is doing. When is Terry Michael going to show up? We need him. We need some sanity here.
Let's take a break and call him.
See if we can get him on?
Yeah. Take a break. Hold on. Bring him in.
Let's see if we can get Terry Michael on the line. Actually, let's try and get him on while we're on the line. Can we do that? Is it possible?
Well,
no.
If you want to wrestle with sound,
you keep talking. We're going to try and figure this out.
All right, I'll keep talking. No, it's fine. I'll tell a couple of stories.
Tell a joke.
Okay. Hold on. Let me think of one. All right. Guy walks into a bar.
Yes.
With his dog, his pet dog.
Mm-hmm.
And he sits down at the bar and he says, "I'd like to order a drink, one for me and one for my dog." And the bartender says, "Get it. What are you? You can't bring a dog in here. Get this dog out of here. Get this dog out of here." And the guy says, No. This is don't talk to my dog. This is a very special dog. And you can call him by his name. His name is Ralph. And he's a talking dog." And the bartender said, "Okay, that's it. Wacko time. Out in the street." He grabs his little baseball bat from behind the bar. And the dog says, Whoa. I'm a talking dog.
Yes.
He's not lying. I just want a beer. The bartender says, Oh my God, you're a talking dog. You're a talking dog." The dog says, obviously I'm a talking dog. I'm sitting here talking. And the bartender says, listen. Here's 20 bucks. Here's 20 bucks. Listen, just do me a favor. You can drink here for free for the rest of your life. Do me a favor. I hate Steve across the street. He opened a bar just to spite me. Take this $20, put it on the bar. Say, give me your most expensive beer. He won't know what to do. Take the beer and pour it on the floor and say, I would never drink beer in a place as disgusting as this. I'm going to John's Bar back across the street. And the dog says, "Yeah, sure, that's no problem." And it's my dog, I say, "No, I just switched the nature of the joke, but don't worry about that." First person, third person. It's me there, me from the beginning. If you go back and listen, you recognize it. Said I walked into a bar with my dog, even though I didn't. Anyway, I say that, but wait a second, this is my dog. I can't just send him. And the guy said, "No, it's 20 bucks. It's right across the street. It's very safe." I go, "All right, whatever." So I'm drinking my beer. And the dog goes across the street, and I'm drinking the beer. I don't know how I got into the first person, but I did. Drinking the beer, and it's 20 minutes, then 25 minutes, then 30 minutes, and I say, this wasn't a good idea. I knew I shouldn't have let my dog go across the street.
Where did the dog go?
So I say, I got to go. I wish you hadn't done that. And I go across the street, and I look all around, and there's the bar, and I look in the bar, and Ralph the dog's not there, and I look around, and I look right into the corner, and there he is. There's my dog, and he's sitting there, but I realize he's not sitting. He's with another dog making love.
No.
I know.
No.
And I said, "Ralph, what are you doing? You've never done anything like this before."
Yeah.
And he said, "I've never had $20 before." No, that's not a good.
Oh,
that's
man,
not a
this
family
is back when,
friendly
when
joke.
Dogs could use 20 bucks in such illicit ways. Oh my god,
that's
gosh.
Not a funny joke.
I don't know if that's a Long Beach joke or what, but we.
I want to apologize to the Joke Writers League of America.
Well, you're working on a stand-up routine. Don't include that joke.
That's the beginning of it.
Oh, that's the opening.
No, that's the end of it.
That's the end of it.
And
it's all over. I mean, your career in stand-up comedy? Is that what you're saying?
Listen,
while you were telling the joke, I tried to get through to Terry. Couldn't get through to Terry. So now we're, it's like, when they do in the Academy Awards, stretch it out. Keep going, Liam. No.
You want another joke?
No, we don't.
They're not
actually,
family.
You know what? I want...
They're not family friendly.
I want a health tip.
They're not family friendly at this
point. No, I want
a health
tip.
That's the only one I had.
All right. That's like that was a Mutual of Omaha Wild Kingdom joke. Really. That was Wild Kingdom.
What word among... See, I can't tell the punchline. We'll see if the audience knows it. What word among women means popular but used among men is derogatory? Anyway, I'm not going to answer that joke.
No, I want a health tip from Liam as far as name the ailment and name the health tip, dietary or otherwise.
Health tip from Liam.
Yeah,
let's take a break and get Terry on the phone.
You want to do that now?
Yeah, I really do.
All right.
My jokes get very, very offensive very quickly.
Mm. It's true. We're going to take a break. Everybody stay with us. Terry Michael's coming up. We got lots to do talking about the fallacy of AIDS being born centuries ago. We'll
fallacy
talk about
indeed.
The fallacy indeed. We'll be right back.
If you're looking for FDA-approved radio... You're listening to the wrong show. This is the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hello, this is Jonathan Wagner. We have an internet website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, that carries many of the products discussed on Robert's show, including 100% whole food chromium and selenium, silica, as well as sovereign silver and Nordic naturals. ChooseToBeHealthy.com features the Rolls-Royce of probiotics. It's Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Dr. O'Hara, a world-renowned microbiologist, formulated a unique probiotic that blends ancient Japanese fermentation methods with 21st century technology. No refrigeration is needed. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics contains the strongest lactic acid bacteria known to man based on scientific laboratory research. 6.25 times stronger. Quite simply, it works and works very well. So go to our website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, or call us toll-free, 866-424-1077. That's 866-424-1077. We're here to help.
Since the 1920s, people around the world have been using radio frequencies to safeguard the health of themselves and their families. Through this tested technology, pioneered by Royal Raymond Rife, researchers have found that specific radio frequencies can eliminate viruses, bacteria, molds, and parasites without harming normal healthy cells. Frequency technology could help millions now suffering from various infections, even arthritis, herpes, Lyme disease, and other painful chronic conditions. The BCX Ultra Frequency Instrument has been developed over a period of 30 years. The BCX Ultra is one of the most powerful healing tools ever. Turn ill health around. Enjoy life again. Start learning about the BCX Ultra today. Visit bioelectricsforhealth.com or call 1-800-936-6240. That's 1-800-936-6240. Call today and start the healing.
Making sense out of medical propaganda. Here's Robert.
We've been hinting at the story we're about to cover, and we're going to bring in Terry Michael in just a moment. Liam Sheff in studio here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. AIDS and imperialism, karma and colonial crimes. This Robert Dreyfus guy was writing about this new book that was brought to our attention, and Liam brought it to my attention because Terry wrote about it. So it's called Tinderbox, How the West Sparked the AIDS Epidemic and How the World Can Finally Overcome It. And in there, somehow they claim that AIDS went back in time before the Spanish influenza of 1918 and even further and was a really big epidemic somewhere. We don't know where it is, but it's there, obvious, and now we're dealing with some kind of karmic retribution. And so, Liam, introduce Terry Michael back to the show. We're having him on again.
Terry Michael's a longtime journalist. He teaches journalism students about politics. He's the founder of the WCPJ, Washington Center for Politics and Journalism, WCPJ.org. You can read his stuff on TerryMichael.net. He writes for many publications, including Reason Magazine. He graduated in the last, 10 years, he'll correct me, 5 years, from maybe not questioning the official story of AIDS to really reading about it and understanding that he and anybody that he's associated with, and you know, in terms of being an adult gay male propagandized by this pharma medical cabal, has been not just lied to, but savaged, beaten, brutalized by this thing. In many ways, the gay community is in many ways self-blinding, and we'll talk a little bit about that even as we lead into the Health Freedom Expo on tomorrow, Friday.
Yeah, tomorrow night's show, yeah.
I wish I could be with you in Long Beach. I'd like to be an observer. I hope you have that on as a YouTube or some kind of a video presentation?
Maybe snippets, maybe for sale. I don't know.
There'll be some snippets, okay. But I don't know that the whole thing will be recorded, but it's a talk that actually I'll be giving, and I can give it in your college, university, or city.
Yes, that's
for the
a good
Lolo
point.
Fee of 10 zillion trillion somethings.
I have plenty of similar dates to fill. And by the way, you were referring to when did I become a denialist?
No, we don't call you that.
We don't call you
that. You tell the truth.
Which, of course, I was joking. It was 5 years ago yesterday, amazingly.
Wow. Well, happy anniversary.
I was reading the blog of Reason, libertarian blog, and saw a piece about the Australian case where an Australian man was accused of wielding a deadly weapon, that is HIV, inside his body. And it linked to Christine Majori's Alive and Well, I immediately contacted Christine, who I'd never heard of or met before. I had never knew there was dissent from HIV equals AIDS. I invited Christine to come to speak in my class, which she did in April of 2007.
Well, you've been, I'd say, an affirmalist, and not a denialist, an affirmalist.
Yes.
You've affirmed the facts since then.
I have been actually at this now almost every day for the last 5 years. I'm 20 books into it and scores of papers and all kinds of documentaries and all kinds of interviews like you all. So it's really interesting that this book pops up because at the very time I was inviting Christine to come and speak, and it happened to be on the same day I had African visitors from Uganda, and I forgot what other African countries. And I'd remembered this piece by this Johannesburg correspondent for the Washington Post about the incidence and the AIDS in Africa, in West Africa, in South Africa. And the numbers just didn't seem to make sense to me, so I wrote to this guy. His name, Craig Timberg, who now pops up co-authoring this book that we're talking about 5 years later. So I knew that he was writing this book, but I guess I should have realized what it was going to be. I think it's sort of a politically correct answer to white guilt about somehow blaming black Africans and their sexual practices and their dealing with monkeys as the explanation of how this devastating disease devastated every place from Greenwich Village to Boys Town in Los Angeles to De Castro in San Francisco. So this seems like sort of revisionist history that indeed it wasn't black people who were to blame. It was white colonialists. So I'm just getting this vibe. I haven't read the book yet. I'm not sure it's actually published. I think this is pre-publication.
But it seems, Terry,
it's going to be out if they're
any moment.
Yes, I think it's hyping right now. Right. They're hyping the book.
Yeah,
right now.
But it's
but
out,
Terry, you know, both of those hypotheses, if you can even call them that, are wrong. I mean, the reality we've covered it is quite different. But how do you know? What are they using? Statistical modeling or time machines?
I just went through and highlighted this huge takeout from the book on the front page of the Health and Science section of the Washington Post today. And let me read you some phrases. Unlikely to ever know the details. Have a good idea how. Appeared to have descended. Could have carried HIV. Appeared to have spread. I'm just going through the piece right now. Colonial commerce created massive new networks of sexual interactions. Hypodermic needles probably had some role. First journey looked something like this. Probably had happened. May have been a small outbreak around. Could have ridden in the body. Or it could have been somebody infected later. Or it could have been carried by a woman, a concubine, or traitor. Also possible the virus moved down. Maybe from. Might even have been a series of infections. Improbable journey was feasible only a few hectic decades, 1880s to the 1920s, quite a span. Hard to see how HIV could have made it out of.
Well, they're,
just qualification after qualification of their hallucination.
They're really committing to this, aren't they? Just definitive statement after definitive statement.
Let me interject something. This doesn't count in the official HIV science, by the way. There have been many, many best-selling crap books that have hit the public shelves about this that had nothing to do with what was being sort of funded. Now, this may influence funding or it may not. It may go away. This is definitely another arm of the attack. This is a soft attack. You know, this isn't a hard attack that says HIV causes AIDS. In fact, if you read it, it reads like Christian apologetics. It's like, yes, vaginal transmission, really, it doesn't happen. And it doesn't really make people sick, really, really. Just don't worry about that. Africa, black people, but spread by evil white colonialism. So Terry's exactly right. This is apologetics.
I really think this is sort of a politically correct revisionist attempt here to not being accused of being, to attempting not to being accused of being racist by doing exactly what Tabo and Becky saw,
right?
White racism.
Yeah. But and at the same time, we mention this often, the tests themselves as they are conducted are targeting inner city minorities, blacks, African-Americans, Hispanics, etc., which is a very racial profiling kind of test.
Here in Washington, D.C., almost majority black city. I think we're still majority black. It's changing slowly. And in 2006, this was the first city to go to an opt-out on testing. That is to say, you get the test if you don't say you, if you, unless you say you don't want it.
It's an automatic.
There is a massive testing epidemic in Washington, D.C., and has been for 5 or 6 years.
Yeah. Have they talked about walling off the city and just leaving all the people that believe in the test in there and everybody else can leave?
It is absolutely amazing, some of the stuff that comes out of the city government HIV AIDS administration. And, for example, they are now claiming in their most recent report, I think it was for 2009, that something like 250 people died of AIDS that year. Well, if you look into the interior of the numbers, half of those people, they admit in the footnote, did not have HIV-defining illnesses. They were counting suicides, murders, people being hit by trucks, just to pump up the number of claimed AIDS deaths here. And then if you take a look at all the numbers, you see what they've done. They've had an epidemic of testing. But yet they claim there's a 3% generalized epidemic here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a 3% generalized epidemic of testing.
Yeah, so even with the epidemic of testing, the reality is the death rate associated with what they call an AIDS-defining disease has not markedly increased relatively.
Oh, it's decreased. They acknowledge that the number of AIDS deaths have gone down since the middle of the – of course, they're on about their 10th HIV administrator here because the whole office has been so racked with corruption.
So the more people test positive for HIV, the less deaths there are. Everybody should test positive for HIV. And as Liam has brought up here, if they don't dilute the blood 100 or 1,000 times, everybody does test positive.
And, of course, what you also get is a hugely pumped up budget for the HIV AIDS administration because it's all federal funds, 90% of it. And it's all based on how many positives you have or how many AIDS cases you have. And, of course, you put a hyphen between HIV and AIDS, you've got a really big number to get you about, I think right now they get $90 million a year from the federal government to hand out to about 95 nonprofits. The Washington Post looked at those in 2009 and saw of about $80 million that went to nonprofits from 2004 to 2008, $25 million was unaccounted for. So, there is a real growth industry here in Washington, D.C. to hype those tests in order to hype the budgets.
Well, this MO is being repeated in many things. The cancer industry, even the psychiatric profession with Ritalin, because prescription rates for Ritalin, they increase in a school district, and the school district gets more money. So there's an economic incentive to find disease where there isn't disease, and that is not exclusive to the so-called HIV-AIDS scenario, but it's certainly playing it out as efficiently and as deadly, if you will, as any of those organizations have ever done.
Well, observe what the CDC's been doing in the last 6 months, and that's hyping hepatitis C, saying the deaths from hepatitis C have now surpassed those of AIDS. This is their new cash cow at the CDC, will be the theory that hepatitis C is really
And hepatitis C
for 40 to 65 year olds.
Sure, and hepatitis C is merely liver toxicity, hepatotoxicity, congestion, selenium deficiency, etc. All of these, even we call AIDS defining diseases, all coming back to the same dang thing. I say dang.
But as they're losing the struggle to make HIV and AIDS rampant, they are
they're starting
trying to
switch.
Substitute now with hepatitis.
There's something switching horses mid race, to speak, at this point.
You lost H1N1, it turned out to be phony, and now H5N1, is that the latest attempt to scare? But now the new numbers are coming out that the flu season is really light this year.
Yep.
They're in trouble. They need some disease.
Well, the CDC had a farm, H5N1, and then there's H3N2. We can keep going on with these numbers. You get to R2-D2 and George Lucas. He's responsible for the new science fiction flu. And in fact, before we brought you on, Terry, we were talking about the new bat flu. They go back and they say, there was a bat flu centuries ago. I mean, it's amazing how far they're reaching, and it's becoming more absurd, hopefully more patently obvious, the absurdity. Certainly, we're pointing it out, and it's becoming easier and easier for the lay people out there to understand what we've been talking about for years.
Okay, and of course, H1N1 was all about massive testing. You pick out one strain of one theoretical killer virus, and you start testing only for that strain you're going to find a hell of a lot of it because there are thousands of strains out there. So pick out one and do massive testing for it, and you'll find a massive problem.
All right.
Never mind that nobody gets sick from it. Nobody dies from it.
Yeah.
Well, do you have, scare people.
Terry, do you have time to hang out with us another segment?
Sure.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break here, a special advanced recorded edition of the Robert Scott Bell Show as we're traveling to the Health Freedom Expo. Terry Michael is our guest. Liam Sheff is in studio. And we're really breaking down the fallacy of so many diseases. We thought we were just going to talk about the new pre-colonial diseases. It was the white man from Europe. That's who really started AIDS and everything else. And, of course, the bat flu now as well. And Terry Michael's joining us. He's going to hang out for a little bit longer with us. So stay with us. Go listen to these commercials because they help to keep us on the air. Say thanks to our sponsors. And we're coming right back.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Pharmacological research from universities all over the world have proven that papaya supplements have tremendous health benefits. At the One Stop Health Shop, that's one-stop-health-shop.com, you'll find our international bestseller, Papaya Leaf Extract. Its natural probiotic formula supports your white blood cells, reduces oxidative stress, and strengthens your immune system. Papaya is one of the richest sources of antioxidants in the world and up to 20 times more powerful than vitamin E. One Stop Health Shop carries a large fermented papaya product selection. Our supplements are all natural, certified organic, GMO-free, and made right here in Australia. But they are shipped to you anywhere in the world free of charge. Take advantage of our limited time down under prices and order now. Don't wait. Visit the One Stop Health Shop. That's one-stop-health-shop.com for all your nutraceutical needs and get free shipping on all products ordered. one-stop-health-shop.com.
Are you looking for a whole food that will have a positive impact on your health? Guaranteed. Do you suffer from an autoimmune disease like diabetes, Crohn's, arthritis, heart disease, allergies, and more? ImmuneTree Colostrum is the only true third-party certified, tested organic colostrum. Hello, I'm Dr. Anthony Kleinsmith, PhD, founder of the world's most bioactive colostrum, which is free of pesticides and hormones. Colostrum is Mother Nature's perfectly formed natural nanotechnology for balancing the body and helping with rejuvenation, regeneration, immune enhancement, and regulation. It contains all of the anti-aging factors, immune factors, essential factors, and metabolic factors. This first food gives you what you need for youth, health, and vitality. Call us today at 888-617-8733 or visit us online at www.immunetree.com. That's 888-617-8733 or www.immunetree.com.
With natural and man-made disasters and economic turmoil, if we don't get well prepared, we will most certainly regret it. Good readiness must include storage of high-quality food that will build us up rather than tear us down. Much of the storable food available is full of bad fats, salt, sugar, nutrient-poor refined foods, and even MSG. In response, EnerHealth Botanicals has created our 40-day and 40-night 100% organic preparedness pail. It's GMO-free and has a 10 to 20-year shelf life if stored at 60 degrees or less. Some of the items need cooking, some can be eaten dry, while some can be soaked and sprouted. These are selling out fast at third the price of storable food packages. Call us at 866-762-9238. That's 866-762-9238. Or go to enerfood.com, E-N-E-R-F-O-O-D.com. 866-762-9238. Or go to E-N-E-R-F-O-O-D.com.
Making sense out of medical propaganda. Here's Robert.
Oh no.
What was that?
A piggy ran through the studio.
A pig? Was that a pig?
He was trying to give us the bat flu.
It looked like a bat pig.
He was actually carrying the bat flu in a little satchel in his mouth.
It was a pig with bat wings.
It's cross species here between bats and pigs?
Yes.
Totally.
It's the Wizard of Oz bat monkey flying monkey flu.
Pink Floyd must have something to do with this.
You're a big man, pig man. What a charade you are. You know what? They knew everything, those guys.
They did.
What a charade they are. So you guys were... I was just enjoying listening so much. My unaccustomed to silence was just that I was enjoying you and Terry go back and forth and talk about the charades of the bat and the pig.
I'm going to have to re-listen. I mean, it's
Hep
just...
C.
Yeah.
You know my story with Hep C. Terry, do you know my yes, I love my mom, but boy, you know, my poor idiot mom with this. A doctor, how stupid. I told her not to. She got sucked into the Hep C thing. Do you know that?
No, I haven't heard you tell that.
Yeah, go ahead and share that with everybody. How did she get sucked into the Hep C thing?
Well, sometimes parents don't listen to their children when their children are precocious. And my mom, you know, she understood the HIV test thing, but she's a doctor. So, you know, she says, well, it's not, you're right. It seems to that you're right, but it's not my field. It's not my specialty. So they get her, and she has a history of having to have some pharmaceuticals for various things. It's her business. And there are reasons that her liver might be kind of wacky. Now, hepatitis C is not a virus. It's a PCR experiment, polymerase chain reaction. You can get PCR to test positive in bats and flus and mice and cats and dogs. It doesn't mean anything. Nobody knows what it means. And so they do this PCR experiment and they say, oh, you're over 50 or over 40. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you seem to have some non-specific liver issues going on. You could have the hepatitis C virus. So my mother goes, oh no. And she doesn't tell me about it, which really bothered me. And I did yell, cry, and scream after this. And she said, well, what's the treatment? That's how she sounds in my head.
Dr.
Right
Liam?
Now.
Okay.
What's the treatment for it? She said to her practitioner. And the practitioner said, we are going to give you some interferon. Now, it's going to hurt you, but this could. And so Rodney Richards, as we know, the co-inventor of the HIV test, who says that they're worth nothing, by the way, told me years ago about hepatitis C. He said, do you know that with the hepatitis C, they give you interferon, but there is no study. There is just nothing that shows any benefit from this interferon treatment versus people who are totally untreated. So people who are untreated do just as well as people who aren't poisoned with incredibly immune system overloading, body overloading interferon. Well, my mother takes the thing. She tells me, she says, oh, it nearly killed me. And I use a lot of German words. And I say, how dare you? You could have died. And I didn't even know that you, and you weren't sick. They got you. It's not just the HIV thing. They got you. And she said, well, I'll never do it again. And that almost killed me. And that was really awful. And that's, I mean, they get supposedly smart people.
Mm-hmm.
They get everybody, and they target the black population. It's right there in Oakland and outside of Berkeley. You know, it's not where the hippie kids go to school and can do anything they want, but over in Oakland, where there are a lot of brothers and sisters still trying to fight the good fight. You see an older guy, 50-something black dude, and he says, I got to get checked for hepatitis C. Like, really?
You know, there's a really interesting piece in the New York Times today, an op-ed piece, I think in the health section. It's headed, if you feel okay, maybe you are okay. And it really sort of puts down the idea that particularly my baby boom generation of hypochondriacs maybe ought to stop worrying so much and getting 1,000 tests every 2 years.
But Terry,
quite
do you
interesting
know,
piece.
Do you know the HIV motto? Do you know what the AMFAR people are? What's it called? KNOW HIV test. They put out a thing about 5-6 years ago. It wasn't, if you feel okay, you are okay. It was pictures of black and Hispanic youth, you know, from my perspective, your perspective, the kids in their like 19, 20, 25, good looking kids. And it said, are you positive you're not positive? They show the model, the really good looking kid model, you know. Are you a kid? I mean, you know, young adult. Are you?
Well, you know, we've had those kinds of transit advertising and in the subway system here targeted to blacks, both young blacks, young Hispanics, but also to straight black couples. All kinds of advertising here in the city that has really pushed, to use that horrible term, people of color. To get tested. I mean, we've created a test mania among African Americans in Washington.
Terry, you mentioned the concept of if you feel good, okay, you might be okay. And I really want to spotlight that right now because I do get the questions all the time as a homeopath about the hepatitis C. What do I do? Do I do interferon? I don't want to do interferon. And I say, how do you feel? Well, I feel fine. Why do they tell you you're sick? Well, they said the numbers, this viral load. I said, well, how do you feel? Are you digesting? Are you eliminating well? Are you feel? You have any fever? No. All right then. Why doesn't that count for anything? Well, but the numbers. And again, just like you said, the obsession with testing and numbers, completely distancing humanity from humanity by turning us all into machines that can be measured on these tests that no one understands until you look at them and show how much of a fallacy that they really are. Whether
I have an admission to make here. Mm-hmm. I just went to my doctor yesterday and had a C-reactive protein test because I just wrote a book called The End of Illness, in which the physician mm-hmm. who said it's a very good test to see if you have inflammation.
Yeah, sure.
And so I went and had it, and I decided to have a lipids profile done at the same time because I hadn't had any done since about 2007.
Yeah.
So here I was not following my own instincts, but I feel okay, but I wondered if I could find some surrogate markers that told me maybe I'm not.
My lipid profile used to have a big Jewish nose, by the way, from the side, right?
Well, I want to tell you,
tell us, Terry.
Is that there are so many people, I'm 64, I'll be 65 in June, my age group, who believe that we should be immortal if we're not, and we need to do everything to assure our immortality, and we are ripe for the picking.
Well, now what you can tell us about the Beatles song firsthand, now that you're 64, what it's really like.
Will they still feed me? Will they still give me all these lipid tests when I'm 64?
Of course,
well,
as long as
not only will they want to give them, to
especially
me, they're very profitable.
Yes. Hey, wait a second. How did this Summer of Love generation make it all the way to today? If HIV was around in the 1800s,
well, that's
and
a big
particularly with all the pharmaceuticals we did in the 1960s. You'd think our livers would be gone.
Yeah. Well, it shows you the resilience of the human species, as well, and animals, but also it belies the fact that Robert Gallo's ancestry must go back into those distant centuries ago, where he really developed the HIV test back then. I don't know if it was on a stick or a leaf or what, but I mean,
we're going to talk about that's very good. We're going to talk about this on Friday, tomorrow, if I'm counting the days right.
Yes,
at the Health Freedom Expo, the idea of Africa trading viruses with North America and Europe,
free trade. It's all about free trade.
Was invented by one Robert Gallo. Before, get this, and we'll talk about this tomorrow, before he discovered the idea anyway, the, what do you call it, Terry? The, you don't know, hologram? Something.
I don't know, the hallucination. irrelevant virus?
Before he discovered the hallucination virus, HIV, he decided to discover something called HTLV-1. And it was the same thing. He had the model in his head. You got to understand this about this. This was invented by people. Illness was not invented by people. It's invented by the environment or circumstances. So you have all these people who are sick in Africa, and you have people inside the gay population who use... We'll talk about this, too. This is a little rough for some people, but you know what? Live with it. Because if you want to understand this, you have to understand what young gay men and even some middle-aged gay men living in cities in the ghetto, in the gay ghettos or the gay community, as it's now called.
Wait. Save the details, the gory details for that lecture.
The stripping of the gastrointestinal lining. But Terry can comment on this.
Sure.
There's plenty to reveal tomorrow. It's okay.
Mm-hmm. I know they're something called a shower shot, projecting water up your behind at very high velocity in order to clean the area for sex. So this will be squeamish for many people to think about.
But
replace
so what?
The plain old enema so that the shower shot actually shoots that water at a high velocity up inside the intestinal tract to clean it out.
Right.
And that has got to have stripped any good flora.
Mucosal lining as well.
But Tony Lance pointed this out to me and everybody in his article, A Gut Feeling About AIDS. And he really pushed it. And I said, well, the antibiotics. And he said, yes, but look at this.
There are other things.
Look at this.
Have you guys ever seen, I have to ask this, have you guys ever seen, I don't know if it's on the Discovery Channel, it's like the American Chopper. They have Senior versus Junior now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, it's a subculture, right? Yeah. But there's a tool that they got some years ago that fascinated me. It shot water out, and it could cut through metal. You know, and here I'm not talking about that rate of velocity, but your point, Terry and Liam, is that you take anything as benign as water and you shoot it at tissue, soft tissue, epithelial tissue, you can damage it. You can do that to the outside of your skin as well if it's hard enough. So there,
well,
it's much
has anybody
worse.
Ever gone through a car wash? That's all you have to think. It's that velocity. It's that something that can knock dirt off of metal.
Yeah.
Think what it's doing to your intestinal tract.
Well, and think about that lining, what you call the epithelial lining. It's the same stuff in your mouth and throat. It's very delicate. Imagine drinking very harsh, high concentrate lemon.
Caustic material.
Lemon water.
Sure.
All day long. You know, by a certain time of the day, you no longer have any mucus on your tongue, and everything starts to hurt. And then any cut you get bleeds, and it's not stopped by the mucus, and it's not stopped by the proteins in the mucus, you know, and so on and so forth. Well, this shower shot thing came around in the mid-70s. When did AIDS appear? Late 70s. Mm. AIDS in the gay community, I'm talking about. GRID, they called it. Gay-related.
And if we really want to make people feel uncomfortable, you'll think about other things that are used, such as fists.
Yeah.
And
meth, methamphetamines, you know, to accommodate the
Well, yes. and the point of talking about it this way, and we know that some people are going to be offended by it, but the reality is when people say, but what about this? But what about this? You know, they keep trying to explain away, oh, it has to be HIV. And you're like, no. Look at all of these scenarios that were destroying the integrity of the, you know, so we said just the intestinal system. We're not even talking about liver toxicity, like I talk about all the time. That was another compounding factor with a drug use, illicit and pharmaceutical drug use, and nutrient deficiency. I mean, compound all of that with that. Now you begin to say it was predicted. There were people that would predict that community was destroying itself.
Right. And
you can summarize it quickly: old pathogens, ingestion of toxins, and stress. It's that summarizes the multifactorial theory that never was tested, because Anthony Fauci would never offer a dime for any of the alternative research to the hallucinations of Robert Gallo, his fellow Italiano. I think that one thing important for people to know is that when he came up with his HTLV-1 and his HTLV-2, those letters stood for something that HTLV-3 for those four letters do not.
Right.
He actually even did some acronym sleight of hand so he could claim ownership of this virus that was supposed to kill cells, as opposed to the viruses he claimed to have found that were supposed to cause wild growth of cells, that is, cancer.
Right. So Robert Gallo first, you know, HTLV-1 was supposed to mean a T-cell leukemia virus, and then later it was just a lymphotropic virus. And it was just an absolutely political thing from the start. But now you've got this Justin Timberlake kid. No, it's Timberg. Take it back. Craig Timberg, co-author of Tinderbox, How the West Sparked the AIDS Epidemic. Yeah, the West sparked the AIDS epidemic. The West made it up. AIDS.
And the rest of the world bought it.
Yeah, immune deficiency was real. But to say that it was viral was a Western idea.
Mm-hmm. Back to Pasteur and the germ theory and everything that has basically descended from it. And that's, you know, that's what we dismantle every day on this show. And she's like, Terry's got it going on good. And I want to hear when Liam's coming to give that lecture in D.C. because it sounds
like you're welcome anytime. Lee,
I see you hop the train down from New York.
College journalism students, I have to be obviously
objective.
A little careful because, you know, when you're part of a group of people labeled something akin to Holocaust denialists and you're teaching impressionable college students, you don't want to really give them all the truth at once. Mm-hmm. You have to kind of meet it out a little bit. We'll just have to tone it down.
Well, I'll wear my big shoes and my red nose so they least get a laugh.
Yeah, that would be good. But
I won't tell the dog joke.
Liam, you're going to be able to like take the train down from New York to D.C.
Yeah.
That'll be easy.
No, we'll do it this summer.
Yeah. Well, I don't have a summer class. I only have February, May, and September, December. So,
We'll do it in May. How about May?
That'd be awesome.
Sounds good.
Maybe that would be cool.
It'll be my first HIV/AIDS seminar since my only other one, and that was Christine Maggiore in April of 2007.
Wow.
It'll be good to come down and talk about how AIDS, immune deficiency, is quite real, but HIV is quite fake.
And just as a reminder, when they say, well, what about the hemophiliacs and for that alone, you've got all kinds of ailments, drugs, and infusions and things that are going to create immune deficiency as well. They're on drugs.
God, people always die younger.
Oh, well, exactly. The point is, they're going to start saying, okay, you explained away the gay issue. Now, what about this one? What about, and there's always a way to explain it physiologically, immunologically, that has nothing to do with a retrovirus or virus of any kind that can or cannot, well, can't be identified.
Actually, people usually understand immediately with a short explanation that Africans, without clean water or any food, there's no reason to say they have a sex disease. They don't have clean water or food. And then they say, oh, but what about the gay population? Now, because the work of a lot of people, pats on the back all around, and thanks to Tony Lance, Henry Bauer, Jonathan Barnett of Questioning It, myself, a lot of people who've sort of hung in, Celia Farber, who've hung in there and tried to talk about this, we're getting to it. And the science, thank goodness, is catching up, because what Tony Lance points out are many, many articles on gut dysbiosis, leaky gut, published in AIDS journals. I mean, the only thing associated with immune deficiency is receptive anal sex and douche and, this high-powered douching. So we're not talking – I'm not even talking about receptive anal sex. I'm talking about the high-powered, multi-drug-used, drug-infused acts. I'm not even talking about gentler stuff. I mean, very specifically.
But as Terry pointed out, too, now the CDC is backing off by going, wait, Hep C is the real issue now, right?
Yeah.
They're going to start moving – because they know the days are numbered. And so they have to already create the next thing, just like – all of this thing supports that whole funding, and then, of course, the next thing will be the treatment action group supporting hepatitis C drugs, for instance. And these are all funded by
Big Pharma. We've got a little waylaid on it, though, because now we're going to have to see if the FDA, in just a matter of months, approves pre-exposure prophylaxis, the use of the toxic chemotherapy in HIV negatives.
Right.
I'm really interested in seeing whether physicians will be crazy enough to actually prescribe dangerous chemotherapy to people who are HIV negative on the theory they're protecting themselves from a
hallucination. Well, I want to sue the FDA for polluting the water supply, because these are black box drugs. And I believe California, you can correct me, but I believe California finally stated that AZT, the first AIDS drug still used, is a carcinogen. They actually know
absolutely
it as
causes
a carcinogen.
Cancer.
But now they claim it, so you're not allowed to put it in the toilet.
Mm-hmm.
Get that? You're not allowed to dump it in the toilet. Where do you think it all goes?
Well, exactly right. Listen, we're going to continue with this discussion, because we've been front and center for many years at bringing out the things that cannot be talked about anywhere else in media. And Terry, I appreciate all your work, terrymichael.net. And I look forward to hearing that Liam's going to actually be there in the classroom in the D.C. area, maybe in May. That'll be awesome.
Yeah, we can talk very generally about how just so much fear tactics spread so much non-disease, not just this one. Excellent. Guys, it was great to talk to you.
Thanks so much, Terry.
Always enjoy it.
Thank you, Terry. And look, tomorrow, Health Freedom Expo, we're going to be doing some things. I got Dr. King coming up on the show as well. And thanks for helping us rock the health world. We'll be back to wrap it up after this.
You're listening to the Godzilla of Health Talk Radio.
Run! It's Godzilla!
It's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hello, this is Jonathan Wagner. We have an internet website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, that carries many of the products discussed on Robert's show, including 100% whole food chromium and selenium, silica, as well as sovereign silver and Nordic naturals. Choosetobehealthy.com features the Rolls Royce of probiotics. It's Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Dr. O'Hara, a world-renowned microbiologist, formulated a unique probiotic that blends ancient Japanese fermentation methods with 21st century technology. No refrigeration is needed. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics contains the strongest lactic acid bacteria known to man based on scientific laboratory research. 6.25 times stronger. Quite simply, it works, and works very well. So go to our website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, or call us toll-free, 866-424-1077. That's 866-424-1077. We're here to help.
With natural and man-made disasters and economic turmoil, if we don't get well prepared, we will most certainly regret it. Good readiness must include storage of high-quality food that will build us up rather than tear us down. Much of the storable food available is full of bad fats, salt, sugar, nutrient-poor refined foods, and even MSG. In response, EnerHealth Botanicals has created our 40-day and 40-night 100% organic preparedness pail. It's GMO-free and has a 10 to 20-year shelf life if stored at 60 degrees or less. Some of the items need cooking, some can be eaten dry, while some can be soaked and sprouted. These are selling out fast at third the price of storable food packages. Call us at 866-762-9238. That's 866-762-9238. Or go to enerfood.com, E-N-E-R-F-O-O-D.com. 866-762-9238. Or go to E-N-E-R-F-O-O-D.com.
In the health world through the power of radio. It's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
So what do you think, Liam? We had quite an adventure today between Terry Michael and the last hour of Bryce Shunk at 10th Amendment Center. We got the political heel. We start these things, we never know where we end up. But I rather liked it.
Yeah, we're kind of insane these days.
Yeah, it really was. I think Bryce was going, what are you guys? He had fun, though.
I have to apologize for my sometimes jovial comments about our good friends in the land of the penal colony, Australia.
Why must you do that?
Well, I joke sometimes. I just like to have Adam.
I love their accent. I like Ginger. I still love Ginger.
Call him the white trash continent. I'm kidding.
No, you're done. You know, if that's the case, then...
No. I need to apologize.
Explain why.
Look, I have very good friends. Firstly, I have very good friends there. Yeah. And they're actually lovely people, and they have to tolerate the rest of the Australians.
Nice to Aussies. What is that?
Okay.
The reason is because we just got word as we're recording this.
I tease them
this.
Because I figure they're actually a lot. They're a mirror image.
They're fun loving.
Mirror image of America,
they'll take the piss out.
But
of
somebody's
you,
coming.
Like in Britain.
Well, I had some experiences in my 20s with Australians, and that's where my little jokey bias, because I've traveled in Europe, and Australians take off for Europe from about 19 to about 38,
yes.
And they just travel, and they keep traveling.
Yep.
And some of them, I actually had a guy on a bus come up to me and go, "Hi, mate. Try to put this up your nose." And it was some powder, and I said, "I don't want to." And he got so offended.
Really?
I'm like, and since then, I joke about them being, Okay.
But the reason he's apologizing
is because
we just got word we'll be getting Olivia Newton-John on the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Oh, my God.
Our teen and preteen heartthrob crushes.
No, I mean, really.
What? What? She's great.
I know.
You do?
Yes.
What was the song I was singing? The river's too wide now for crossing.
My heart is just
the waters rush too loud for walking. They never build bridges for walking.
And wait.
There's no getting to the other side.
Stop it.
Oh, man.
But baby,
what else did she do?
Can't you see?
Now, I'm not going to bring up, like, let's get physical because that wasn't her best. Right? Now, we're not going to the disco, Olivia Newton-John.
I'm hopelessly devoted to Olivia.
The country, Olivia Newton-John. Oh, my gosh. Great memories. The album cover, you remember how
totally
beautiful
hot.
She was?
Olivia Newton-John, gorgeous. Totally hot.
It was before that, even.
No, that's the only one for me.
Okay, yes. You're a youngin'. I'm a little older. That's
You're
right.
Ancient.
Yeah,
she'd
thank
have
you.
No interest in you.
Of course not.
No, Olivia, anything you need. Anything.
Well, she's a cancer survivor, totally holistic and promoter, and it's going to be great. And she's going to be getting an award as an Aliver and Thriver from the Alive Foundation in New York, although she'll probably be getting it via satellite. I don't know if she's coming from Australia.
I just have to say, any interview I've ever seen with her, I got to say, she seems like a lovely – she's always presented herself as a lovely person. Now, she could surprise us and say, "All right, let's get started with this thing." But I just don't think that's going to be the case.
Yay. Well, we got it. We got the things that are happening – Liam, it's amazing what's happening right now. The buzz is on. People want to be on the Robert Scott Bell Show. We're breaking stories all over the world.
This
is where the beautiful people are.
The story about the dentist lady that you helped?
Yeah.
She's still, months ago.
Oh, yeah. And in fact, yeah, that was an interesting story. We were at Dr. Centrum's office the other day, and she's telling me and her staff are telling me, we still are getting calls. We're getting calls from all over. There was a call from Philadelphia just today for Dr. Centrone about, non-toxic dentistry. So, you're out there. Now, all I say, any of you know good companies that want to support this
message?
Help
us
out. We'll keep growing.
Man cannot live on goodwill alone. We could use some advertising. I mean, really, we're a growing show, and we need you. If you're a product maker,
if you know somebody, 866-939-BELL. Call us,
866-939-2355.
And we would be grateful.
Or what's the emo?
Consulting for emo. Consulting and the number four, emo, E-M-O, at gmail.com.
Because Robert loves the emo music.
Yes, that's right. Brian Emo?
No, it was,
Eno.
Depeche Mode and stuff. You would you'd pull your bangs in front of your eyes and dance in the dark in your room with a black, what is that called, turtleneck?
Remember I had Casey and the Sunshine Band.
I know, you're a happy-go-lucky fellow.
Yes, exactly.
I'm not talking about myself. I did have some friends in college really into the emo thing.
All right, Liam, thanks for helping us get through this today. Thank you to Terry Michael. Thank you to Bryce Shanka. Thank you to Super Don for making us sound so good, so good, so good. And, of course, let's see, tomorrow's show. We are going to pre-record because we're going to be so busy at the Health Freedom Expo. But Dr. Frank King will be a new segment for the Healing Revolution tomorrow as well. And let's see who else we might. We'll see if we get Darren Craddock on. We can't promise. We'll try. But we need some of the accents coming
back.
That
dude's funny.
He is funny. He is funny. Listen, lots more healing to go. Why? Well, because it's the Robert Scott Bell Show. And why? Because the power to heal is yours.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hi, this is Joshua.
And Anna Scurry, co-founders of Alive Foundation, and you're listening to The Robert Scott Bell Show. We here at Alive believe in health freedom and God's gift of choice. Alive is a nonprofit organization that will be holding its first annual celebrity health and eco benefit in New York City.
Why should you support? This benefit will be centered behind the world's leading natural doctors, celebrities, and organizations that are making a real difference in our world to give the people a voice that has not had a chance to be heard.
Did you know the number one killer in America is suicide by lifestyle from lack of education and know-how? We can change this. Stand with us in this mission of hope and healing to reach at least 1 million people worldwide. Attend the event live or watch it from the comfort of your own home.
Please visit AliveNewYork.org for more information or to make a donation. We cannot do this without you. We the people hold the key to our destiny. Are you willing to unlock the door?
I'm shuffling.
Scott Bell Show.